conquering fear with faith in the Lord. In Psalm chapter 27, Psalm chapter number 27, we're going to read the entire psalm here, all 14 verses, to get going. Bible says here in Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I see. Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path, because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Hey, conquering fear is what we're looking at. Conquering fear with faith in the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. Lord, we are grateful again to be in your house. And Lord, I do need you again to preach this message. Lord, I do pray you fill me with your Spirit. I pray, Lord, you use me and give me boldness and give me clarity of thought and give me your words here to speak to your people here today, Lord. And we'll just give you the glory for what you do. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. All right, now the Great Depression, which began in the United States in 1929, was the longest and most severe economic downturn in modern history. It was marked by steep declines in industrial production, mass unemployment, banking failures, poverty, homelessness. It's been said that one in every four workers could not get a job during that time. But drought had devastated farmers, leaving dusty fields where they had once planted crops. And unable to pay for housing, hundreds of thousands of Americans found themselves homeless. The country appeared on the verge of total collapse. And the United States had reached its lowest point in this Great Depression. But it was in this low point that of our history that Franklin D. Roosevelt had been elected President of the United States of America. And in his inaugural address of 1933, he said this well-known line, "We have nothing to fear but fear itself." You see, Roosevelt understood that fear has the power to cripple us. Fear would have us retreat when we need to press forward. Fear will destroy us, okay? Now, we all deal with fear today. We all have some sort of fear to deal with. Many fear the future. Many fear poor health. Many fear getting old. Many fear what people might think about them. There's fears of flying on a plane. There's fears of heights. There's fears of germs. And there's even fears of public speaking. Would you believe that? But whatever the source of fear is, Let me tell you, when it overpowers us, it becomes like a ball and chain. It becomes like a prison without walls. It will strap us down. It will destroy us, and it will render us useless for the Lord. So the question is, should a Christian fear? Should a Christian fear? What do we do with this fear? Well, we need to conquer. We need to conquer fear. The Bible talks a lot about fear. The word fear is used in 395 verses in the King James Bible. In 2 Timothy 1:7, the Bible says this, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." You see, while fear is something that everybody experiences, we need to realize that fear is not of God. Okay? Fear did not come from God. Fear is our spiritual enemy. Fear is our enemy. All right? Fear is the fruit of our sinful nature. It is a nature that does not trust the Lord. Okay? It is that lack of trusting the Lord that enables that fear to fester in our lives. Now, as we look here at Psalm 27, we know David wrote this psalm, and we know David was a man of war. He was a man after God's own heart. There's a lot said about David, but he gives us the formula here for conquering fear. So we're going to look at this psalm here, and we're going to conquer fear together, all right? Number one, the first thing you got to do is trust the Lord. You got to trust in the Lord, and we see this here in verses 1 through 3. Look there in verses 1 through 3. He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident." Hey, David trusted in the Lord. We need to trust in the Lord. David did not start out in this psalm and begin expressing his fears, but he begins by declaring his trust is in the Lord. He gives us the only solution to the problem of fear here, and that is to trust the Lord. Right? We can read other psalms that David wrote, and over we see David's confidence was always in the Lord. His trust was always in the Lord. David says here in verse 1, he says that God is his light, his salvation, right? It's his strength. Who should I fear? It's because of this personal relationship that David has with the Lord, that David is not afraid of anyone or anything that comes upon him. You see, David knew his God. David knew his Savior. You see, David is a saved man. He knows his Savior, and he's saying, "What do I have to fear? What is out there that I should be afraid of? The Lord, He's the strength of my life." I mean, think about that. Can we say the Lord is the strength of my life? Can we say that? We need to be. That's what kept David going here. That's what encouraged David. You see, David knew that the Lord was his salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Listen, we don't have to fear a runny nose. We don't have to fear a sore throat. We don't have to fear COVID. Listen, there's coming another pandemic. It's coming. If you live long enough, it is coming. There is coming another pandemic. If you haven't read the book of Revelation, there's a lot of things coming, okay? There's going to constantly be these things that are coming, but what are you going to trust in? What is your faith going to be in? The things of this world that will perish and fall, or is it going to be in the Lord? David put his trust in the Lord. And Paul says this about in 2 Timothy 1:12, he says, "For I know whom I have believed." Right? Paul's another example. He knew the Lord. He knew his God. He knew his Savior, a saved man, and he trusted the Lord. Right? Paul went through a lot of stuff. He went through a lot of persecution. He went through a lot of stuff that came upon him, but he pressed toward the mark. He didn't quit. He kept the faith. He didn't stop. He pressed forward, moving on. A lot of times, Christians,
When things come upon us, we crash
because we do not have that assurance of our salvation. But we lack that assurance of our salvation,
especially for a new believer. A new believer early on can struggle with you know, hey, I've sinned. What happens now? You know, they can struggle with that salvation,
assurance of salvation. But in Psalm 56:11, Bible says, "In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me." Listen, we just need to trust the Lord. We need to quit fearing everything around us, not worry about what man can do unto us, but just trust the Lord. Alright? Trust the Lord. If we're going to handle these times of trouble, these times of uncertainty, because they're coming, if you've lived in a bubble your whole life and haven't experienced any troubles in life, well, it's coming, all right? There's always troubles coming.
It's been said that somebody is going into a trial, coming out of a trial,
or is about to go into a trial, or is in a trial, right? Trials come. Storms come. What are we going to do in those trials? Do we have assurance of our salvation? You see, when God gives us salvation, it's eternal. It's everlasting.
Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." You see, you get saved, Jesus puts you right here. You're not getting out. Then you got the Father right here. You're in the Father's hand as well. You're not getting out of that. And then you got the Holy Spirit of God, like we looked at this morning, sealing you. You have the seal of redemption. You're sealed into the day of redemption in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 38.
Salvation is eternal. Salvation is everlasting. Hey, but there's always that person that says, "Well, what happens if I do something bad? What happens if I mess up? What happens if I do something bad?"
Well, go over there to Romans chapter 11.
Because here's the bottom thing. We don't deserve heaven anyway. None of us deserve heaven. None of us has done anything to get to heaven. It is a gift. Okay? In Romans chapter 11, Paul is explaining it like this in verse number 6. Okay? In Romans chapter 11, in verse number 6, he says here, "And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace."
Okay, so he's saying, hey, it's got to be one or the other. It's either grace or it's works.
Okay, which one is it? He says, "But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work." Which is it?
It can't be both. Right, but we know in the Bible it's by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith.
Right, it's grace over and over. It's not by works. There's nothing we can do to earn our salvation. The Bible says in 1 John 5:13 that you can know you have eternal life. God wants us to know we have eternal life. He wrote the book so we can know. And you see, if there was something you could do to lose your salvation, that means there's something you had to do to earn it. There's something you had to do to earn it, and that's not grace.
So Paul's just clearing it up here. He's saying
it's by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith.
And when he gives that everlasting life, it's everlasting. It's eternal. John 3:16, he talks about eternal life.
In John 3:36, he says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life."
In John chapter 5 and verse 24, he says, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life."
You see, everlasting life means eternal life. It means forever and ever.
It means not taking it back.
He says in John chapter 6 and verse 7, John chapter 6, in verse 37, it says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." You see, you come to Jesus, you get salvation, he's not kicking you out, he's not casting you out, he promised eternal life. Eternal life is just that, it is everlasting life, and God does not lie. All I'm simply saying is this.
Hey, we need to settle the matter of salvation. We need to know for sure that our God is my life, that my God is my salvation. Because when times come, am I going to fear all these things? Or am I just going to trust in the Lord, right? Trust in the Lord. He is my Savior. He promises eternal life. He doesn't lie.
And salvation is what David had. And he knew that no matter what came upon him, that God had his back.
God had his back, so he wasn't fearful when these things come upon him. When we read Psalms like the one we're reading here, and his enemies are coming at him, David was not fearful. He just trusted the Lord. I mean, think about David. Here's a young, a ruddy boy, a young man, right? And he faced Goliath. How many of you want to face a Goliath, you know? Right? That would be scary, but everybody else in the army was afraid, except David. But David wasn't fearful. Hey, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause for Gilead Baptist Church here today? Is there not a cause in 2025? Is there not a cause in Macon, Georgia? Is there not a cause? David trusted in the Lord. You see, he was not fearful because he knew his God. He knew his Savior. And here's the thing with David. He always fought in the power of God. He never fought in the flesh. Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled with the Spirit. Again, that is for us here today. 2025 is still for us. Gilead Baptist Church, it is still for us right here today. But this is where we fall short a lot, isn't it? Being filled with the Spirit. Unfortunately, this is the reality of it is that so many of us, we fall short here and we do things in the flesh. We do everything in the power of the flesh instead of the power of the Spirit. And you know what happens when you do that? You have no power at all because the flesh is weak. You have no power. Hey, you go soul winning in the flesh, you have no power. You're not going to win anybody. You got to be used in the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit, because it's all a spiritual thing. It has nothing to do with flesh. The flesh does not even want to go soul winning, period. It does not. It is spiritual, okay? It is a spiritual thing, but you got to be filled with the Spirit. We got to quit being filled with the stuff of the world, quit being filled with the music in the world, and the dress in the world, and the movies in the world, and we got to get all of that out and be filled with the Spirit, and then God could use us, and God could do something with us here today, just like he did with David. Just like he did with David. But in the end of it, David trusted in the Lord. No matter what he went through, he trusted in the Lord. He trusted in the promises of God. Hey, listen to this. In Isaiah 54, verse 17, the Bible says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. Hey, look. Hey, they can come at us. David's enemies came at us. But nothing was going to prevail. They weren't going to prevail on them because David trusted in the Lord. If you would, turn over to Psalm 91. Look over there in Psalm chapter 91. Point is this, David trusted in the Lord. That's where we need to start. If we're going to conquer fear, we got to trust in the Lord in everything. In Psalm chapter 91, look there in verses 10 and 11. It says there in Psalm 91, 10 and 11, he says, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Hey, do you believe that? Let me just ask you, do you believe that do you believe that verse? Do you believe God will keep you? Do you believe in God's protection? Do you believe in God's promises? Do you believe that there's no weapon that will have any effect on us? Do you believe God's word? Do you? Then why do we fear? Then why are we constantly filled with fear? Why are we filled with fear? But we have the power of God just like David did. We have the Spirit of God living in us. We have the power to defeat all of our enemies. Why do we fear? So let me ask you this. What enemies are you facing today? What battles are you going through? What trials are you in? Who are the enemies that are round about you, ready to overcome you? What enemies? What are you facing? What are you trusting in? What are you trusting in? That's the key. David trusted in the Lord because he knew the Lord was his life. That he knew the Lord was his salvation. He knew that the Lord would protect him. He was afraid. Who should I be afraid of? Every one of us has that same assurance. Every single one of us has that same promise of God in the Bible. Flip over to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 in verse 5 and 6.
You know it. Familiar verse.
Trust in the Lord with what? What? All?
A-L-L, that all?
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall what?
Direct thy path. Hey, do we trust the Lord with all of our heart?
Again, we're lying to ourselves if we're not filled with the Spirit. We're lying to ourselves if we're not filled with the Spirit, there's no way we're trusting him with all of our heart. We're leaving fish and cheese for God. He wants our all. He wants everything. He wants every bit of us for his glory, for his honor, okay? But he gives us the promises, but what are we doing with them? Are we claiming them? Are we claiming it? Or are we lying to ourselves? Are we deceiving ourselves? Look there in verse 23 in Proverbs chapter 3. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 23 says, then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Hey, you ever lay awake at night, and you can't go to sleep? Things on your mind, turning, tossing, fearful of this, fearful of that, or whatever. But here in the Proverbs, this, when you're trusting the Lord, when you're filled with the Spirit, you're trusting the Lord, he says here, you'll lie down and you'll be able to, that sleep shall be sweet. Verse 25, he says, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. In verse 26, right here, he says, for the Lord shall be thy confidence. You get that? For the Lord, not my flesh, not my strength, not how mighty I am. David was a mighty man of valor, wasn't he? He was a man of war. You know, he slayed many men in battle and won many battles, and he killed Goliath. But hey, listen, for the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being saying, hey, the Lord is my confidence. I need to trust in the Lord. If you remember, in 1 Samuel chapter 30, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Okay? We need to remember, like David, trust the Lord. Just trust in the Lord. I got to move on here to our second point. I want you to see here, not only do we need to trust in the Lord to conquer fear, but we also need to seek the Lord. We need to seek the Lord. If you could get back to Psalm 27, where we started out there, and we'll look here in verses 4 through 6. In Psalm 27, look there in verses 4 through 6 as we seek the Lord. Psalm 27, 4 says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. David is very clear here about what matters most to him. Above all else, David longs and desires the presence of the Lord in his life. He wants that presence. He wants that power. He wants the Lord in his life. Can we say that? Above all else, everything else this world has to offer, can we say that we want the Lord's presence in our life? Is there anything we're holding back? Anything we hold holding back? David's priority was not being kept safe. Okay, he's not saying keep me in some safe place, keep me in some safe bubble. What David here is longing for, what he's saying is, I just want to have an intimate relationship with the Lord, whatever it costs. Whatever the price, I want it. You see, here's the thing. When you seek the Lord and you get close to him, the closer you get to him, the smaller your fear is going to be. The smaller your fear is going to be. The more you rely on him, the more you're filled with the Spirit, the more you rely on him, the less your fear will be. Our thoughts will shift from fear to faith. Our thoughts will go from fear of this and fear of that
to just trust in the Lord. Seek in the Lord. Faith in the Lord. Faith. That's the question. Do we seek the presence of the Lord in our lives? Do we let Him have full reign in our lives? We know the verse, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. It's there. We mention it quite a bit. We read it in our verses. We read it in our Bible. The promise of God is to draw nigh to Him. He will draw nigh to you. But do we ever do it? Do we ever do it? Now, remember, our purpose in life is to glorify God, to bring honor and glory to God. That was David's objective. David loved the Lord. David loved the Lord. If you remember, you know, he was a man after God's own heart. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 22, the Bible says, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. That's David. That's what was said about David, a man after God's own heart. You ever wonder what that means? Anybody know what that means? Anybody know what that means? Being a man after God's own heart means I align my heart with God's heart. It means I align my priorities with God's priorities. It means I love what God loves. It means I hate what God hates. It means when the sin comes in and the Holy Spirit convicts me of that sin, I repent of that sin and I get right. I don't harbor it. I don't blame others. I just get it right. That's what being a man after God's own heart is all about. David praised God. He seeks God. He trusted God. He, in Psalm chapter 42 in verse 1, the Bible says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Think about that. So panteth my soul after thee, O God. That right there is talking about a man who his whole being is just to trust God and to seek God and to serve God and to worship God and just to get as close as he humanly possibly could get to God. David loved God. David loved God. Hey, flip over to Psalm 116. Look over there in Psalm 116. In Psalm 116, look there, starting in verse number 1. Hey, you want to conquer fear? You got to trust the Lord. Hey, you got to seek the Lord. David, he sought the Lord. He loved the Lord. And here in Psalm 116, verse number 1, the Bible says, I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Look at there at verse 4. For then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the sight and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. Hey, look, David loved the Lord, and when those times of trouble came, he knew who to go to. No matter what was going on in life, he knew who to go to. What about us? When those trials come, who do we turn to? When those temptations come, what do we do about it? Do we just trust the Lord? Do we seek the Lord? Do we just bow before a holy, righteous God and cry out like He did here, O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. You know God is merciful. He's merciful to every single one of us. Do you understand that? His mercy is new every morning. That's His mercy, okay? God is merciful to us. We do not deserve any of His grace, but He gives it freely. David loved the Lord, and you know what else he loved? He loved the Lord's house. He loved the Lord's house. And in verse number 4, back in our text, he said the word, he said, have I desired. He said, have I desired. That means there to earnestly demand, or to the point of nearly being out of control. What he's saying is, I love the house of God so dearly, so much,
that I just can't stay away. I love the house, the Lord's house. I love the house of the Lord so much, I can't stay out of the Lord's house. I got to go to the Lord's house. Wouldn't that be, wouldn't that attitude be such a blessing in our church houses today? If we all just had that same attitude as David, have I desired to be in the Lord's house? Nothing can keep me away. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 15, the Bible says this, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." That is the church. The church is the pillar and ground of truth. Of truth. God's people should love the church. They should love the church. They should not neglect the church. Those that love God, that love God's word, will love the church. Just like David loved God, he loved being in the house of God. It's where we have good, sweet fellowship in the house of the Lord. Right? He also says there that I may dwell. That I may dwell. That's there speaking of abiding or living permanently. In other words, David is saying, hey, after service, he wasn't in a hurry to leave. He wasn't in a hurry to get out of here. As soon as the word amen and the prayer was said, you know, in some churches, you got people running for the door. Not Gilead Baptist Church, but not Gilead Baptist Church. We want to hang out in fellowship and enjoy being in the house of God. Look there in verse number 6, back there in Psalm 27. That's where we started in verse 6. David enjoyed being in the house of the Lord, but he also enjoyed singing praises. Look there in verse 6. "And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." Hey, listen, David's enemies are on his trail. They're all about him. They're encompassed about him. Yet, David says here, "Therefore will I offer in the tabernacle sacrifices of joy." Now, that takes some sacrifice, doesn't it? That takes some serious trusting in the Lord. That takes some serious seeking of the Lord. You see, we today, we're not accustomed to sacrificing much, are we? We don't sacrifice. We don't sacrifice. You see, we want the good life. We want the high life. We want the conveniences of all of 2025 has to offer with technology and everything in it. We want all that money can buy, and we serve God when it's convenient. Well, if it's convenient today, if it's not convenient, then we'll try again next week, right? If it's convenient, when it's convenient, we'll tithe. When it's convenient, we'll attend church. When it's convenient, we'll do something for the Lord. Here's the thing. In America, we just live so convenient for our lifetimes, really. We've not had to sacrifice anything. We've just been good. But David here, he explains sacrifice. Okay, if you would, turn over to Psalm 51. Psalm 51 in verses 16 and 17. Look what the Bible says here about sacrifice. In Psalm 51, now, so we know David had committed a sin with Bathsheba and adultery, and then had her husband murdered. We know that, okay? Here in Psalm 51, verse 16, the Bible says here, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit." You get that? A broken spirit. He says, "A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." God desires a heart that is so broken over our sin, over our unrighteousness, that we humble ourselves and seek Him. He's not looking for that outward display of affection, but He's looking for that inward transformation of the heart. Right, the heart of the matter. Right, he says here, "A broken and a contrite heart." Hey, you want to conquer fear? You got to trust the Lord. You got to seek the Lord. And three here, you got to pray
to the Lord. You got to pray to the Lord. In verses 7 through 13 of our text, I'll read a few here. In verse 7, it says, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation." Even though David here is confident, his trust is in the Lord, he's seeking the Lord, that the Lord would deliver him, David still goes to him in prayer. Lesson for us is we're not to take God for granted. Not to take Him for granted. We need to remember to pray to God. He promises us so many things in the Bible. We need to remember to pray to Him and ask Him. And David asked for mercy here. He asked Him for mercy. Right? David knows he's a sinner. He knows that he cannot come to God in his own righteousness. So he goes to God and seeks God's face in prayer and asks Him for mercy. But the question still remains, when we fear, when times of fear come upon us, what do we do? What are our actions? David here is seeking the Lord in prayer. Have we ever thought to go to God in prayer? When that storm comes, if it's fear or whatever it might be a temptation, do we ever think to just stop and go to the Lord, trust Him, seek Him, and pray to Him? Or do we complain? Do we try to do it in our own flesh, or do we go to Him in prayer? You see, a lot of times we just go to Him when we need things. He's like that rabbit's foot charm, right? We just go to Him when we want things or we need things. And David wasn't that person. He wasn't that person that only prayed in the times of trouble. David prayed. He walked with the Lord. Point is this. We need to be praying people. We need to pray without ceasing here. And I got a problem with you. Right? The problem is this. As Christians, we've become too big to seek God. Okay? Remember how small you were when you got saved? Remember how small you were, how humble you were, how big God was? We need to get small again. We need to get small because when we get small, God gets big. But pride has puffed us up. Pride has puffed us up, and we just need to get small again. And here's the thing. If we could just get small again, like David, we might be able to do something about that sin in our life. We might be able to do something about that beam in my eye if I would just get small again. If I would just get small again, I might do something about all these lost souls dropping off into hell all around me. But no, I'm too filled with pride. I'm too big for God to use me. I'm too big for God to be able to do anything in my life. But remember how small you were when you got saved. Remember how small, how humble you were on that day. You called the Lord to save you. Hey, we just need to, like David, we need to trust in the Lord. We need to seek the Lord. We need to pray to the Lord. We need to get that communication back open again. Hey, if sin has hindered that communication, we need to break that free. We need to be able to have that communication open. We just need to get small and let God be big and let that prayer line be open. Because, you know, the Bible says this in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Think about that. You see, when we pray, our mind becomes like God. Our will be in line with God's will. When we get in the Word, when we're trusting the Lord and seeking Him, our will won't be so much about what I want. My prayer won't be so much about all these things that I want. It'll be about me aligning myself with the Lord's will. Okay? Hey, I got to give you the last point here. The last one here is wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord, that's there in verse 14. So not only do we trust the Lord, we seek the Lord, we pray to the Lord, and then we got to wait on the Lord. Hey, we want to conquer fear, we got to do those things. David taught us here. In Psalm 27:14, the Bible says, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and you shall strengthen thine heart.
wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, David ends that psalm here with that advice of waiting on the Lord, and that involves patience. You got to understand, that involves patience. But God's time is right. It's always right on time, and it's not my time. The Bible says that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. We need to trust Him. We need to seek Him. We need to pray, and we need to wait on the Lord. But here's the thing with waiting. Waiting isn't just sitting around doing nothing, okay? Waiting is being faithful in serving Him. Just like David. David wasn't just sitting there waiting for God to deliver him. He was busy serving the Lord. It's kind of like this in with Lazarus. Remember Lazarus was sick unto death? Jesus could have went and healed him, but he had a greater purpose. He had a greater purpose in raising him from the dead. And sometimes God will allow us to wait. We need to wait on Him because He has a greater purpose in mind. But are we trusting Him for that greater purpose? Are we seeking Him for that greater purpose? Are we in a line and walking with Him through prayer for that purpose? And I'll be closing here with this story. There was a story told of an Arab chief of a spy who was captured and then sentenced to death by a general in the Persian army. The general had a strange custom of giving the condemned criminals a choice between the firing squad and the big black door. As the moment of execution drew near for one of the spy was brought to the Persian general, and he asked them the question, what will it be, the firing squad or the big black door? The spy hesitated for a long time, and he thought about it, because it was a difficult decision. But in the end, he chose the firing squad, and shortly after that, shots rang out, confirming his execution. Now the general turned to his aide and he said this. He said, they always prefer the known way to the unknown. It's a characteristic of people to be afraid of the unknown. Yet, we gave him a choice. And the aide asked this. He said, what lies beyond the big black door? Freedom. Freedom, he replied. I've only known a few brave enough to take it. How brave are we here today? How brave are we here today? You see, God brings us here today, and He's presented us a choice. We can either live by fear, or we can live by faith. The choice is ours, but if we choose fear, we will live our lives never experiencing the great satisfaction of taking a risk for God, and never seeing God be able to work powerful ways. And now if we choose to walk in faith, we will experience a newfound freedom that can only be explained by the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is it that has you so fearful here today? What has you fearful of serving the Lord? What has you fearful of living for the Lord? Hey, what has you fearful of trusting the Lord? What has you fearful of seeking the Lord? What has you fearful of praying to the Lord? The Bible says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. The promise is there, but do we trust it? Why don't you just step out by faith and trust Him today and see what He does? Let's pray.